You're listening to the Home Base Podcast. This week, I cover what you really need for the first 6 months of baby's life. This is a great tool for those of you that are registering or just need a refresher. So look out, this one is jam-packed. Stay tuned. Hey, 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 all you Home Base Podcast peeps. What is up? So this week is kind of crazy. And I know I normally like start the episode off with like, what's been going on with me, but I don't want to waste any time because I have a ton of information that's coming at you this week. And so this episode's probably going to be a little long, but that's okay. So we're going to format this a little different. We're going to just jump right in it and go, and then we'll take a couple breaks in there to give you guys a little music to kind of shake it off before we dive right back in again. So, what are we talking about? You're wondering because you're like, oh my gosh, so much information. What is she about to throw at me? If you know anything about having kids, you know that the whole registry thing is kind of insane. It's kind of daunting. You probably did a lot of research before you went registered, or maybe you're pregnant. Hopefully you are and listening to this. But yeah, it's kind of crazy. The list of things on those registries that they recommend for you to get is insane. And I really feel bad for like first-time moms like myself, because I think we're the ones that so get taken advantage of by places that give you that like recommended list, because there's crap on there that you seriously do not need. And you just don't know any better, you know? And you have friends that tell you this and that, and you read reviews and blah, blah, blah. It's so overwhelming. So what I did is I went through, and before, when I was pregnant, before I had my son, I read all the reviews and I read all the books and I got all these different opinions and I did all the research and I compiled it all for you guys. And here it is. Plus my own experience, okay? So my son is 10 months now, so I'm going to go through and tell you what you actually need for that first year, and not even really the first year. The first is like big chunk, okay? But we'll get into that in a little bit of why I'm not doing the entire first year. I'll touch on first year stuff, but we're mainly talking about the first 6 months. And so it's kind of crazy, and if you're pregnant, that's awesome that you're listening. But here's the thing, everyone needs to listen to this episode, and I'm going to tell you why. So if you're one of those people that you're like, psh, my kids are grown, hey, you need to stick around, okay? Everybody needs to listen to this episode. Number one, maybe you are pregnant, and this episode is perfect for you because this is exactly where you're at right now, and you need this information. Number two, maybe you have one kid and you're about to have another and you're like, oh, it's been a while since I've done the whole baby newborn thing. I need a refresher course. This is totally for you. This is going to get you ready for that second baby. Maybe you don't have any kids, or maybe you are about to have baby number two and you're like on the fence about whether you want to try to get pregnant or not. This is going to let you know what you're going to be getting yourself into. And last scenario, maybe you're not in the baby scenario at all, but I guarantee you know someone who is in this scenario, about to be in this scenario. You need to save this episode so then when you come across that person, you can say, oh my gosh, I need to send you this amazing podcast because it's amazing and there's awesome, awesome, awesome information here. And you're going to save that person loads of time and research that they wasted, because I got all the answers right here, guys. Got them all in a list, of course, because that's what I do. So stay tuned, everybody. Listen up. This episode is for all of y'all. There will not be a post this week on the website because this list is so long that it really just doesn't make sense to turn it into a post, because it would just be super redundant. So this list is only available to those of you who are listening to the podcast. So you seriously go on to iTunes, subscribe. That way you can save the episode, save it for later, because you're going to need it. I promise. I'm already excited about this episode because I'm going to reference it when we go and have baby number two, because I know I'm going to forget stuff. Totally. And even if I don't do an entire new registry with baby number two, which I probably won't unless it's a girl, but it'll just be nice to kind of remind myself and refresh things. And who better to remind myself of stuff than myself? All right, guys, let's dive in. So we're going to be bringing up things not only that you need to register for, but we're going to bring up stuff that's not on your registry list that should be on there. So I'm talking about when you go to your Babies R Us or your Bye Bye Baby, wherever you're registering at. I'm kind of spacing. It's been over a year since I had to do this, guys, bear with me. But I know Babies R Us and Bye Bye Baby are like the big ones. I know Target does it. Burlington Coat Factory has a baby registry. Tons of places, honestly, let you register. Probably even Walmart has a registry, I'm not sure. But so some of this stuff is on there, some of this stuff is not on there, but it needs to be on there. Some of this stuff your other parenting friends have maybe mentioned, or maybe you've seen it on Pinterest, or maybe you've read about it in different parenting books if you are pregnant and you're getting ready and you're like, what in the world is this? I'm going to kind of explain and decipher and tell you what it is, why you need it, why you don't need it. So don't worry, I get you guys covered. And I'm also going to talk about things that are on your registry that you don't even need. Probably not a lot of those. If you don't hear me mention it and it's on your registry list, chances are you didn't need it, or you don't need it. So just kind of cross that out on your registry and go, don't need that. Just black it out. All right, so first up that we're talking about is gripe water, G-R-I-P-E. Gripe water, what this is, it basically helps with settling your baby's tummy. There's some that are all natural. I tend to be the crunchy mama, a little bit of an all-natural freak, so I like to go all-natural, and I actually make my own gripe water, which I found a recipe on Pinterest, and you can go over to my DIY episode and listen to that, and the recipe is in there. It's super, super easy. It's basically brewing tea and adding a couple things to it, and then you just put it in a bottle, and you can put the excess in the freezer, yada, yada, yada. And guys, I'm serious. I'm going to go through these things like psh, psh, psh. So I'm sorry if you're looking for more detail. I promise. Go to the DIY episode. You can listen to it, and it's in there. But it's just for helping babies settle their tummy. Typically, it's all natural. There are some that have some things added to it, but they're not harmful. You can give gripe water to your baby as soon as you bring them home. It's safe for all ages. We used it a lot with my son when he had hiccups, and as you know, babies get hiccups a lot. So that's kind of why I wanted something all natural, because we were going to be giving it to him several times a day. But it helps them with the hiccups. I explained that in the DIY episode, why it helps them with hiccups. It helps settle their tummy if you feel like they've got a little bit of a bellyache going on. They've got some diaper issues and things like that. And you'll learn with babies how to kind of decode their poop and what's going on in there. So that's what gripe water is. Next to gripe water, you have gas drops. Gas drops are different. You can use the gripe water for gas. I normally try to do that first, and if it doesn't help, then we go to the gas drops, because I've yet to find any gas drops that are all natural. So there are like additives in the gas drops, but basically they are what they are. They help with gas. I know a lot of parents say they used them a ton. We didn't really ever use them that much. Sometimes I think he just liked the taste of them, so we just gave them to him if he had gas because he liked the taste. I don't know if it really actually helped. Actually, what helped with gas the most was baby yoga. And if you want to hear about that awesome tidbit, go to the baby yoga episode. And that episode, seriously, if you're a new parent, that episode is gold. Like, we love baby yoga. We felt like it was super, super helpful, especially at the beginning. So that is gas drops. Both gas drops and grape water you can give to them as soon as you bring them home. They're not harmful to infants, and they are a good thing just to have on hand when you are bringing baby home. It's a couple little tools you can have in your cupboard, and you know you've like got them in your back pocket, you know, so when they're super fuzzy and you're like, oh my gosh, what do? Go with that. I'm trying to remember. The grape water we got, it just came in a little jar and you just poured it into like a little medicine dispenser, and that's actually on this list of mine. So there's like those grooming kits you can register for. They come with like a comb and a brush and nail clippers and a little nose aspirator. Some of them come with a little thermometer, and it's all like in a little zippy pouch. There's like a beginner's toothbrush in there. And a lot of them now have these little awesome medicine cups, and there's a little lid that snaps on top of the medicine cup, and it has a little nipple on it, like a bottle nipple. And they're really great because then when you have a baby that's sucking and they don't quite understand how to take medicine, you can just put it in the little cup, put the nipple on, and that's how we gave my son his gripe water. And that was a really easy way to help him learn how to hold his own bottle because this thing is so tiny. So he actually started holding that before he started holding his own bottle. So that's another great little tidbit there. So make sure if you are registering for one of those grooming kits, make sure you get the little medicine cup. If you're not registering for a grooming kit, you can find those medicine cups individually. Get one, maybe two of those. They're just super awesome to have on hand. We use ours almost daily. Not so much now that he's 10 months, but when he was teeny tiny, we used it daily, several times a day. So there's those two tidbits. Trimming their nails. This is more of a tip than anything. You absolutely need to trim their nails. That's kind of a duh thing because their nails are like, I don't know what it is about baby nails. They're ridiculously sharp and they're like tissue paper thin. It's kind of crazy. But you're going to want to trim them because their skin is so soft and they just naturally want to bring their hands up to their face because, I mean, they spent 9 months in the womb in this little ball. So it's just kind of this natural habit when they're newborn and they end up scratching their face. And because their skin is so soft and so delicate, they can do some like serious scratches, and you don't want them to scar and all that, so you want to try to avoid the scratches. And how to avoid that is to trim their nails, so make sure you get a nail trimmer, and again, that should be in the grooming kit. And a great tip on how to trim their nails: trim them when they're nursing. Okay, if you have a really sound sleeper, you can do it when they're sleeping too. Always did it when my son was nursing. I still do it when he's nursing. He'll be sitting there nursing on the boob, and I just grab his little hand, his toes, and that's how I trim his nails. So good little tidbit there. And I always find it really helpful to just keep those out here in the living room or wherever you nurse the most. Just don't put them away. Just leave them out because then you'll remember to do it more often. All right. One of the other things that comes in the grooming kit is the nose aspirator, the little bulb. They give you one of those at the hospital. A lot of the grooming kits come with one as well. But I actually like something different. I felt like it's easier to use, and I feel like I get more junk out of his nose, and that is the Nose Frida nasal aspirator. And this is one of those things I actually went back and bought, because when I did my registry, I was like, this is disgusting. And I just didn't thoroughly do my research, but I ended up going back and buying it because I just could not get stuff out with that little bulb. And so we got the Nose Frida, and what it is it's this tube, and you stick it up to their nose, and there's a little filter on the bottom of the tube, and then there's this long, thin hose attached to it, and you suck on the end of the hose, and you suck the stuff out of their nose, and it captures it in this little tube. So none of it goes in your mouth. Don't freak out. There's a little filter that captures everything, and it gets trapped in the little chamber, but you would be amazed at how much junk you can get out of their nose. It's easier to do when they're little and they're not quite as squirmy. My son obviously knows what it is now and he hates it. So I have to like very inhumanely hold him down to suck the stuff out of his nose. But it is a lot better than trying to hold him down and shove this bulb up their nose, because then I feel like you're putting something all the way up their nose, and there's more of a chance that you're going to go too far, or you're going to damage the tissue on the inside or irritate it, which can cause bleeding. So this thing, you just lay it over the nose, over the opening of the nose. So you're not sticking anything up their nose. You're just putting it over the hole and creating a good suction, and it just sucks everything right out. So, super easy. I know it sounds kind of gross, but it's really not, I promise. Okay, we're moving right along. This is good. Choosing a bottle. This is hard. I cannot tell you how much research I did, and we were breastfeeding. I had no intention of really using the bottle outside of I wanted to pump and let my husband feed him too. You know, I wanted him to be part of that experience. So I wanted to have a couple bottles, and a couple turned into an entire set. So we have an entire cupboard full of bottles. Here's my little tidbit about that. If you go and open a registry at Target, you get a little sample case, and most of them come with a sample bottle in there. I'm trying to remember. I believe mine was an Advent bottle. And when I went to Motherhood Maternity, I got on their email list and signed up for like emails or whatever, and they give you like a welcome bag, and there was a latch bottle in there. They're both the little small, like five ounce bottles, so they're not big. But you know what? It's something to start with. So if you're going to breastfeed and you're not going to use it that often, I really would just start with the samples. And go from there. If you are going to use formula, or you know you're going to work and you're going to need bottles, it's going to be used all the time, I still would recommend just go and buy like individual bottles of a couple different companies. See what you like. But also, if that still doesn't sound for you and you're like, no, I want to pick something, I want to know, when you're doing your research, look for what's going to fit in your lifestyle, okay? So there's different, every single bottle on the market says it helps with colic, and every single one helps reduce gas. I mean, they all say the same thing. What you want to look for is if you are nursing and you want to switch between breastfeeding and bottle feeding, you're going to be doing both on a daily basis. You want to find a bottle that is better for that. If you're going to use a bottle all the time, then you don't have to worry as much about the bottle resembling your breast, and that creates different availability for you. So look at it that way. Don't look at it versus what is best for colic, blah, 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 because they all are. Look for something that you feel like, look at the actual nipple, the top of the bottle, and just go off of your judgment of what you think your baby's going to like better. Also, this sounds really, really weird and really creepy, but feel the nipples. See which ones are like softer or harder. Some babies like the really hard silicone. Others like the really, really soft, okay? And there are like fast flow and slow flow nipples. Obviously, when you have a newborn, you want to start with something that's slow, and as they get older, you can move to the faster flow. But you want to go just find something that you think your baby's going to like, and that's why I say trying a couple is always a good idea. we did, I honestly don't feel like my son's that picky. We did a couple different samples, and the one we ended up going with is Tommy Tippy, because we really, this sounds so weird, but we really did. We looked at the nipples on the bottle, and they look the most like my breasts, and so we thought this will be an easier transition for him, and it is, and he takes it now really well for other people, because like one day a week I leave him with his grandma and she has no problems with him taking a bottle, and that's great. So look at it that way when you are doing your research on choosing a bottle. And I always say less is more, because like I said, we have a whole cupboard in there and we use one bottle a week. I literally keep using the same one. I just wash it over and over. So really don't stock up on a bunch of this stuff. Save your money, save other people's money. If people get you multiple packets of bottles at your baby shower, don't be afraid to take a few back and exchange them for something else. Kind of the same thing with the pacifier. I love lots of different options because when my son came home, he loved the little gumdrop, is the brand that we got at the hospital, and he loved it. And then about 3 months, 2-3 months, he was done. He didn't want his pacifier anymore. He has not been taking a pacifier 4 months. But he will take ones that are frozen, and that is in my teething episodes. If you go listen to the teething episode, I talk about freezing your pacifiers, and you can't do those with the little silicone ones. You actually need different ones. So I like having different options because, you know, 1 week they may like this, another week they may like this. So don't, like, when you do your pacifier research, just, I honestly wouldn't worry about it. I would go to the store and look, because pacifiers like go on clearance. I'm not sure why, but they do. And so just nab a couple here and there, make yourself a little stockpile, you know, or just wing it. Go with the one they give you at the hospital. And if they like it, then awesome. Go buy a couple more. If they don't, then you'll not have wasted your money. All right, moving on. Boogie wipes. You have probably seen these in the shelves at stores, and you're like, what is this? What's wrong with a Kleenex? Why do I need this special wipe to wipe my kid's nose? Your kid's skin is so sensitive. Baby skin is so sensitive and so fragile. So if you're wiping it, if they're sick and you're wiping it all day long with a Kleenex, they're gonna get little dry, crusty, red, irritated splotches around their nose. So I suggest boogie wipes. Boogie wipes are nice because they're a little damp. It's like a wipe, but it won't irritate your skin. They're safe for your face. It's just nice. It's a nice alternative from a wet wash rag. So those are basically your choices. Instead of doing a Kleenex, you're going to do either a warm, wet wash rag to wipe off their snotty noses, or you're going to use a boogie wipe. So you can wash the snotty wash rag, or you can use a boogie wipe and throw it away. It's up to you. There are some that are non-scented. There's some that have like a clean, fresh scent, and then there's some that are grape-scented. I vote for either the grape-scented or the non-scented. The clean, fresh scent is a little, I'm not a big fan of clean, fresh scents on my kid's face. It just screams chemicals to me. I'm sure there probably aren't chemicals in them because I'm pretty sure they're an all-natural company, but it's just a little weird. Or if you're super into DIY stuff, go over, listen to the DIY episode and listen to how I talk about making your own baby wipes, and you can use those for boogie wipes instead. So they're safe for any part of your child's body, their face, their bottom, whatever. And that's another thing on this list. Contemplate, instead of doing wipes, look at doing your own wipes. Making your own is super easy. You control the chemicals that go in them, and they're super cheap. So go check out the DIY episode. There's a lot of ways for you guys to save some money on there. Okay, I'm trying to do these semi in relation to each other, but this is probably just going to be a little bit all over the place. So we're going to jump over to nursing pads. So if you are breastfeeding, You've probably seen or heard of nursing pads, little adhesive pads that stick inside your bra for when your breasts leak. There are ones you can make yourself. Basically, you can do cotton. A lot of them are made out of little pieces, circles cut out of flannel. You just sew a couple layers together, and voila, you have a reusable nursing pad that you can wash in your laundry. I feel like this is hard because breastfeeding is so different for everyone. I mean, I'm really learning that. Breastfeeding for me has been a breeze, and I was not expecting that. I really felt like surely I was going to have some kind of struggle or something, because that just seems to be my luck. Not at all. I have had incredibly great milk supply, and I've had no issues, really. No cracking, no bleeding, anything like that. No excessive leaking. They're not even excessively huge. I didn't have to go get new bras. I used the same ones that I got when I was pregnant. So I'm really not a good person to ask for tips when it comes to this stuff. But I will say, when your milk comes in, you leak for like a couple days until it comes in. And then once you get on a schedule of feeding your kids, now I do every 3 hours. That's what we did when he was born. We did the every 3 hours. And so we got on like a schedule. Some people like to feed on demand, and that's fine. Chances are you're probably going to have somewhat of a schedule anyhow, because babies just kind of naturally get on a feeding schedule. But anyway, so once your milk comes in, you kind of get on your little routine. Your milk is going to regulate, and you're not going to leak anymore. Unless you skip a feeding because you're, I don't know, maybe you and your husband went out on a date or whatever. So those are the times you're going to want nursing pads. And we didn't go out a lot. So I only used it maybe a handful of times. And then once you get further along, like I said, we're 10 months now. He only does 4 feedings a day, so there's large gaps. So mine don't really leak anymore because they're just used to going long spans. So even if I do skip a feeding, I don't have any leaking problems. So it's one of those things, you don't need a lot of them is what I'm trying to say. You do leak a little bit at night. Once your baby starts sleeping through the night, that's like a good long, awful week of your breasts adjusting to your child sleeping through the night. And so you'll be really full and leaking and uncomfortable that week, or however long it takes for your boobs to get used to not being nursed on all the time. But I would just start with a small box. If you're going to buy some, get a small box, maybe just like 5 to 10 pairs, and go from there. If you want to go the reusable route, that's great too. I would just get maybe 1 set, maybe 2 sets if you feel like you're really going to be going out a lot, or maybe you plan to go back to work. I'm a stay-at-home mom, so I never had to go without feeding. So just kind of think about what you're going to have coming at you, but know that you're not going to need this big jumbo box. So I thought I was going to need this big jumbo box, and so I have this huge box under my sink, and I've used maybe 5 pairs. And I think there's like 40 pairs in there. So I think I'm set for however many kids I ever have, because I'm not going to be using them. Along with things for your breasts, you've probably seen lanolin. And if you haven't, lanolin, L-A-N-O-L-I-N-E, is a cream that you can put on your nipples when they get dry or cracked or irritated or if they just hurt. I used this a few times in the beginning, but like I said, I really did not have a lot of issues. Other people might use more, So you can ask for it. Don't purchase any. You can ask for it at your hospital when you deliver, you can ask for a bottle to take home. And when I say a bottle, they're going to bring you this teeny tiny little tube that looks like a trial size of like sunscreen for babies. Like, it's tiny, so tiny. It's like maybe an ounce. But you seriously, this stuff, you put like the tiniest amount on your finger, and when you start spreading it, it just like, it really starts to spread. You only need a teeny tiny bit, and it really does help and makes things feel a lot better. So don't buy any, because that stuff, if you've looked at it, is expensive. Just ask your doctor when you're at the hospital, and they will give you a little bottle to take home. So lanolin. All right, we're moving on to bath stuff here. Baby oil. When to use baby oil? Do I need to use baby oil? Yes, and at bath time. Use baby oil. Learning your baby's skin routine is going to take you probably a few weeks to a few months to kind of figure out what your baby's skin needs and what works for them. So I did not do baby oil at first. I just did the whole, people bought me enormous bottles of Johnson's shampoo, and I did that at the beginning when we gave him baths, and I soon found out that my son has eczema, which is little dry, scaly patches of skin. It's not severe eczema. There is severe eczema, which is like really big patches of like super scaly, red, irritated skin. So his isn't serious, but he does have little patches. So I soon found out that just shampoo wasn't going to cut it. I was going to need to do other things. And so I started incorporating baby oil in his bath water. And now we do a bath every other day, we skipped tonight. That happens occasionally. So every other night we typically do bath, and I just put a quick little squirt of baby oil in his bath water, and that's enough to make his skin really nice and smooth and soft, and it feels good. As far as shampoo, I think, is another one. It's just kind of trial and error. So I recommend, people love, because Johnson's is so cheap, they love to get you like the big, huge bottles. I really recommend asking people to only get you trial sizes, or don't even register for shampoo and stuff like that at all, and just go pick out your own little trial size of something to try. Until you figure out what your kid's skin likes. If you have a child and they don't have any kind of sensitive skin, you will probably be fine to use whatever kind of Johnson's shampoo you want. But for those of you that might have more sensitive skins, you might need to look at something else. I loved the Johnson's shampoo because I think it's important to use something that's tear-free, because it is impossible to keep soap from going into your baby's eyes. And it's so, we all know that that hurts. It hurts so bad when you get soap in your eyes. And so I always felt so terrible because we use a different shampoo since he has eczema. And I'm actually not a big fan of it. We're going to go back and try the Johnson's now that I'm using baby oil and I have a lotion that I really like, and see. But I feel so bad every time it like runs in his eyes and he gets so upset. So I love the Johnson's, or any, there's different brands that do the tear free. So make sure when you're looking at shampoo, find something that's tear free. And I suggest sample sizes just till you find something you really like. Even amongst the Johnson's brands, like we had like the oatmeal one, and I didn't like it. It left this weird texture on my son's skin. It was like he was always sticky. I didn't like it. And then we tried the Johnson's Naturals, and we loved that. And so that was really good. So kind of do sample sizes, and then what's really great is once you use up the sample size bottles, they're really cute and small, and I just hot glue the lids shut, and I put them in his bath, his bath toys, and he loves all the little tiny bottles. It's super sweet. And there's some fun crafts that I've also shared on here that you can do, so go check those out as well. Lotion. So you're doing your baby oil, you've got your shampoo, lotion. Again, trial and error. I'm just going to share with you the ones that we really like. The Johnson's Naturals is super awesome. It feels super clean on your child's skin. It's really light. It's not cakey. I don't like using heavy, cakey lotions because really a baby's skin should be pretty low maintenance. It should be low maintenance, but then it's really high maintenance because it's just so fragile. But I think a lot of like the baby acne and stuff, if you think about it, if you're using a lotion that's so heavy and so thick and their skin can't breathe, they're going to get more baby acne. So find something light. We like the Johnson's Naturals. But actually what we do now, and I shared this in my DIY, and you can do this as lotion. You can use it as lotion. You can use it as diaper cream. I suggest putting it on like bug bites. This is like a multi-purpose thing. It's coconut oil. You simply melt down coconut oil, put a few drops of lavender essential oil in it, and we actually put lavender and Roman chamomile oil in ours, and then you put it in the fridge until it re-solidifies, and there you go. You have lotion. You put a little pea size in your hand, rub them together until it melts. And my son's eczema is gone, guys. I do the baby oil, and between the baby oil and the lotion, he has no eczema anymore. It's great. All right. So I said you can use that as diaper cream. Actually, what we like to do for diaper cream is Vaseline. Everyone needs a jar of Vaseline. So if it's not on your registry, get you a jar, especially if you're having a boy. And here's a great thing about newborns. So when you have a newborn and they're still in that whole meconium poop stage, the black tar poop, if you put Vaseline on their little bum, then when they poop, it is so much easier to wipe off because that black poop is such a sticky mess. It's awful. So that's a great use for Vaseline. If you're having a boy that is being circumcised, you're going to need Vaseline. They will actually give you a couple little tubes at the hospital because you have to protect that area by putting Vaseline all over their diaper. And we use Vaseline as our diaper cream rash cream. Every time I change his diaper, only if he's pooped. If he hasn't pooped, then there's still Vaseline on his little hiney, and I just leave it alone. But every time he poops and I wipe that area clean, I put more Vaseline on it. It keeps that area moist and soft. He hasn't had a rash in months. I just discovered this a couple months ago, and since I discovered it, he hasn't had any diaper rashes. So, huge fan of Vaseline. I don't use any diaper cream. I personally say save your money. Even when he did get a rash, I would just make him be naked for a few hours and it would clear up any diaper rash. So I personally think all the diaper creams are kind of a waste of money. So I highly recommend trying out Vaseline before you go waste your time getting anything else. Sunscreen. You don't need to worry about sunscreen because they can't use it until they're 6 months old. Moving on. Hats and mittens. Yes, 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 yes. You're going to want lots of hats, lots of mittens, even if your baby is not born in December like mine was. When they're so tiny, they get cold so easily. You're going to want lots of hats and you're going to want those mittens so they don't scratch their face. Because let me tell you, their nails grow so fast that you literally could cut them in the morning and by the evening they would be able to scratch their face. So get hats and mittens. Do it, do it, do it. Invest in a nice sleep sack. So if you haven't heard, blankets are out and sleep sacks are in. And if you don't know why, go over and listen to my SIDS episode. And if you are a new parent or pregnant, you need to listen to that episode. It's probably the most important information you're ever going to get because SIDS is serious and scary and everyone is at risk for it. So please go get your information and SIDS proof your child's crib. and make good choices. So blankets are no more and sleep sacks are out, or in, I should say. but they're awesome, so make sure you go invest in a good one. When your baby's really little, they teach you how to, at the hospital, if you take the little baby prep class, or if you're just smart and you know how to swaddle a baby, they show you how to do that with a receiving blanket. I personally, we did that during the day with my son. That way he was warm, because he was born in December. So most of the time we had him swaddled when we first brought him home. And that was nice, because then if you handed him to people, like there was a blanket there. If he spit up, there was something to wipe it with. But at night, I felt like he could just wiggle out of it. So I really recommend, there is a couple different companies that make swaddles that actually like Velcro around, like they're actual swaddles. They're not receiving blankets. And they're really snug and they keep your baby safe. So look at those. But once your child gets to that stage where they don't want to be confined, which with our son was like a few weeks, and he wanted to sleep with his arms straight out to the side. So that's when we swapped over to his sleep sack. There's a couple of different brands that make some. I really like Halo because they're like the only company that does a fleece sleep sack, which like I said, my son was born in December, so we wanted something that was going to keep him warm. And plus, you should have a fan running in their room. So their rooms are going to be kind of chilly. And if you don't have a fan running, go listen to the SIDS episode. It's in there. It talks about why you need a fan in their room. So go. Get your fan. Go listen to that episode. But I like their sleep sacks because they're fleecy and warm. They have the zipper that goes right down the middle. And it just makes things easy for changing. They're great. But find one that you like, find one that you think is going to work well for you and your baby, but a sleep sack is a great investment. Don't let the dollar amount kind of scare you away, because you have to remember, you're going to be using this every single night, and most of them, if I remember correctly, go like, I want to say, is it 0 to 3 months, and then 3 to 6, it might even be 0 to 6 months, and then 6 to 12. I can't remember exactly. I know we used ours. Like, my son went from a small to a large. Like, we didn't even use the medium size of the Halo sleep sack. And he was in his small forever. And he's a big boy. I have a very big baby. just to tell you how big, he's 21 pounds and he's 10 months old. So, he's a big baby. So they do last a long time, so I wouldn't be afraid to invest a little bit. And a good tip for putting your baby to sleep at night is to think, what do you wear to sleep plus one? So like if you're in PJs with a comforter, your child needs one more layer than you. Okay, so kind of keep that in mind, and that's why we really liked the fleecy sleep sack. Because we felt like, okay, if he's in a short sleeve onesie during the summer, then the fleecy sleep sack will be fine. And in the winter, if we put him in long sleeve and long pants, jammies in the fleece sleep sack, he should be fine. So I feel like when you start looking at the cotton ones, then it's like, is he going to be warm? Is he going to be cold? It's just too much of a guessing game. I feel like the fleece is just good no matter what. All right. Baby powder. I meant to go over this when we were talking back on like diaper cream and stuff. Baby powder. Have it. Because when my son was little, the few baby rashes we had that I just could not get to clear up, I used baby powder on them because... especially if you're exclusively breastfeeding. Now, if you're using formula, I've heard... if you use formula, that baby's poop is a little bit more solid. But if you're exclusively breastfeeding, their poop is really loose and kind of watery. And so a lot of times, if they do get a diaper rash, you don't want to put something creamy on it, because the problem is their little bums are already too moist. You want to put something that's going to kind of dry up some of that moisture, and that's where your baby powder comes in. So just get yourself like a little bottle to start with. I think we're still on our little trial size because we really don't use it that often. And worst case scenario, if you're like, I don't know what my baby's little rash needs, there's been times I'm like, I can't tell. Is this a Vaseline rash or a baby powder rash? I just do both. I just put down the Vaseline and then shake the baby powder on top of it, and it always clears it up. So there you go. All right, I feel like this is a good place to take a quick break, and then we're going to come back and we're going to try and fly through the other half of this. So we'll be right back. All right, guys, we're back. Whew, we're already 45 minutes in. Lord help us. All right, buckle up. We're going to do the rest of this. I did mean to mention when we were talking about sleep sacks, I talked about blankets, how you don't really use them much anymore, but I think we got a ton of blankets, and I use like two. I leave one in the car always, just for if it's cold, you can put it over their feet and stuff when they're in the carrier, or it's just a nice thing to always have. And then I have like one in the house that I spread out on the floor that he can play on or whatever. But that's it. All my other blankets are like in a tub somewhere. So you don't need a lot of blankets. Receiving blankets, on the other hand, are really nice to have. Because like I said in the beginning, you can swaddle them up and it's a nice thing. You know, if you're passing off a swaddled up baby, if they spit up or something, people can just use the blanket. And that's another thing. Burp cloths, if you don't get a lot of them when you have your baby shower, don't sweat it. Cut up some of your receiving blankets and voila, you have burp cloths. Honestly, I liked just taking the receiving blanket and folding it up like a burp cloth and just throwing it over my shoulder. I really feel like burp cloths are kind of just redundant. So, but that's your opinion. You may love the adorable little burp cloths. I honestly, my little tidbit, don't get caught up in how cute stuff is, because you'll soon realize that you waste a lot of money. All right, so we're moving on to big stuff here. A bouncer, an exercisor, and a playmat. These are really personal choices, I think. It depends on how much space you have in your home or apartment. It kind of depends on how much you're willing to let baby encroach into your world. I can tell you when I was pregnant that me and my husband were very adamant that we weren't going to have baby stuff laying everywhere. We wanted people to walk into our house and not go, oh, they have a baby, you know. That is completely unrealistic. It's not going to happen. Just get over it now. Because it's so true. We have baby stuff everywhere now. But we do a good job, I think, of containing it so that it's not a madhouse. But if you have a madhouse, who cares? I bet you're having a lot of fun in that madhouse, so it doesn't matter. So a bouncer is really great because it helps them with holding holding themselves up. If they're not being, they can't sit up, it helps build those muscles, it helps build those leg muscles, so bouncers are great. Bouncer versus exercisor. We have a bouncer. I really like it because it's stable, so I feel like it's really him controlling his movement, where the exercisors, they swivel around, they have the little legs that you can pop up, but they're still just not uber sturdy, so that's why I voted for the bouncer. However, there is exercisors out there now that are super cool. They come apart and they're like multifunctional. So there's like the little seat on the inside will pop out and you'll have a little blanket with a little archway so your child can lay on it like a play mat when they're little and they're laying down doing tummy time. And then obviously you have the exercisor once they're a little bigger and they can sit up in there and stuff and they don't, you know, slip through. When they can hold their head up is when they can get into the bouncers or the exorcisers. And then as they get older, then a lot of these exorcisers, they come apart and they're like this standing toy that kids can cruise around on by like holding on to it. They can walk around it. So they're kind of multifunctional, which is nice. So you could go that route. There's play mats. I recommend that everybody either get the play mat or get the exorcisor that has the play mat in it. Okay, because, and here's why. I didn't have a playmat at first. We got one, like, once my son was a couple weeks old, because it gives them something to do, because they're just going to lay there a lot of the time, and it gives them things to look at and dangle in front of them, and that's their main interaction throughout the day, outside of you, you know, because babies, they don't watch TV, nor do they need to, and so it just gets kind of boring laying around looking at nothing, and they're not going to be able to, like, shake rattles and stuff until they're a few months old, and so something dangling over top of them is really nice, and that's where those play mats are great, great, great. Great for tummy time, great for them to lay there. And if they have something dangling in their face, that's how they work on that hand-eye coordination of raising their arm and learning to grasp things. I mean, you'll see them, like, start to swat at stuff and they'll miss terribly. And then all of a sudden one day they'll hit something and it'll move and your heart will skip a beat and it's exciting. So either get a play mat or get the exorcisor that has the detachable play mat. And not every exorcisor has that, so make sure you're really looking at them when you go to register for one. I really recommend, we got our bouncer at a consignment sale. Look in your area. Most areas do some kind of like big consignment thing for kids stuff. If not, I know you can go on Facebook and look at their garage sales or whatever that's on there. Because we got our bouncer, it was a $100 bouncer, we got it for $60. So we saved a chunk of money off of it, and it looks like it's brand new, and it's awesome, and we're going to save it for all of the children we have or don't have, who knows. But so look at that, because some of these things, they are, like I said, $100, they can get expensive, and if no one buys it for you, you're like, I don't know if I really want to buy that. It is a great investment, so go look at your consignment sales for that. Toys, really at the beginning, you don't need toys. You really don't need toys until they get to about 4 months old. You can get some rattles and teethers are some great things to have on hand. But I really just recommend getting the play mats that have stuff that dangle. Those normally come with 4 or 5 toys on them, and that's kind of enough to start with. All right, moving on. A boppy, and this is a nursing pillow. They're the U-shaped pillows that wrap around your waist so you can nurse your baby. Yes, 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 get one. They're awesome. They're also really great for if you have young kids that want to hold your newborn, or maybe you have some elderly grandparents in your family that want to hold the baby. The boppy is like this little security blanket. It helps people that aren't used to holding a baby hold the baby. Get a boppy. They're also really great for your kids when they start sitting up. You can put it behind them in case they topple backwards. It's really great for tummy time. They're just an awesome thing. Everybody should get a boppy. Yes, yes, go get a boppy. And most boppies come with a cover. There's other covers you can get. We just have the one cover personally. A bumbo seat, or there's other brands too, but these are the little seats that they can sit in. They normally have a detachable tray that they can eat on. I think these depend on whether you have a high chair. Like, we have an old school wooden high chair, so we couldn't use it until he was like 6 months old. Some high chairs I know nowadays work for, like, you know, 2-4 months old, or whenever you start doing pureed foods. If you start at 4 months, some people wait until 6. So we used a Mumbo because our high chair didn't work, but your high chair might. So it just depends on what your high chair situation is. But the Mumbo is really nice, and it's easier to take to other people's houses. It's portable, whereas a high chair may not be. So keep that in mind, too, that the Mumbos are super easy. And that's another thing you can find really easily at like your consignment sales on Facebook or even at like Goodwill or something. So go check that out before you go buy a new one. Baby bathtubs, I really recommend one of these. A lot of people, I think they're gonna just wing it, and then they realize they get this tiny little fragile baby and they're like, oh my gosh. Laying my little baby in a little, even if it's like your kitchen sink, it just doesn't work, and it's really hard, and it's uncomfortable because it's metal. It's just a huge blah. So we liked our baby bathtub. We got, I can't remember, I want to say it's Infantino was the brand, and I love Infantino. I feel like almost most of our things that we love were Infantino. So, get a baby bathtub. Ours was this little metal framed seat, and it had a mesh like sling in the middle. It folds up. It was super easy. We just kept it. We have two bathrooms, and so we just kept it in the bathtub that we had all of his bath stuff in, and we would just pull the shower curtain closed so people couldn't see it if they came over to visit. But we really liked it because you can set them on something and then you have two hands to kind of wash them with. Whereas if you're putting them like in a sink, you're going to have one hand that's kind of holding their head up and stuff while the other hand's washing. It's just uncomfortable. So we liked the baby bathtub. I believe this one was only like $15 at Target, so they're pretty inexpensive. Now, if you get into like the big, huge tubs that you put water in, I think those are just kind of ridiculous, and they're super expensive, and they take up a lot of space. This thing does not, so definitely get one, though, because it is something you're going to use, and just makes life a lot easier. So, changing table. A little tidbit for your changing table. If you need to save space because you're in a small space, instead of getting a whole separate changing table, think about putting your changing table pad just on top of their dresser. My dad is into woodworking, and so he actually designed a dresser for us because he's awesome. But a lot of kids' dressers are short because if you think about it, kids are short and they need to be able to get into all the drawers. So most of them are a great height that if you just put the changing table pad on top, you have a really great changing table. So think about that instead of getting a whole separate changing table. Another thing is to think about is not to get a changing table cover for your pad. So like ours is, all changing tables pads are like waterproof. They can just wipe clean. And me, my mind, I'm like, okay, I want to find shortcuts and I don't want to do more laundry than I have to. And so I was like, I'm not going to put a pad cover on this because all that's going to happen, we all know, is little explosions are going to happen. Or I have a boy, so he peed on everything. As soon as you took off the diaper, he would start peeing. And so I knew I was going to be changing this thing all the time. I thought, doesn't it just make more sense to just not put anything on it and then I can wipe it clean with a Clorox wipe? Brilliant, right? So think twice about getting a changing table pad cover. I know they're cutesy and whatever, but seriously, one less thing to wash. I'm all about it. Bedding. So with your baby's mattress, most mattresses, you want to try and get something firm. And you'll, if you go listen to the SIDS episode, that's all in there. Most mattresses are waterproof. I wonder why kids have accidents. So On top of your mattress, you're going to want to get sheets. I recommend getting at least two because then you don't have to worry about doing laundry the same day your child has an accident. You'll have one on backup. A waterproof mattress pad, it's up to you. I think it depends on your mattress. I like having the waterproof mattress pad between our mattress and the sheet because it makes it a little bit more comfortable. Because waterproof mattresses, they tend to just feel really plasticky and cold. And I think the mattress pad helps it kind of stay warm and lock in some of that heat. It is a little redundant, I realize, a waterproof mattress pad on top of a waterproof mattress. But that's my opinion. So we just have the one mattress pad. And we have two sheets, and we've had no problems so far. So I think that's a good amount. Maybe once you do potty training, we'll need to get like an extra sheet and extra pad. But for right now, this is perfect combo for us. And you can get all those things. Babies R Us does a nice little combo pack you can buy that has two sheets and a mattress, waterproof mattress pad in it. And it's fairly cheaper than going the other route of buying the individual sheets. So, there you go. Crib bumpers. Listen to the SIDS episode, guys. You don't want crib bumpers anymore. But if you're getting a kit and it comes with a crib bumper in it and you're like, oh, I'm not going to use this, and it's like got you on the fence of whether you want to buy this or not. Maybe you really want the package that comes with the cute comforter or something, but you're like, I don't want the crib bumper. Go on my website and go on the DIY episode, listen to it, go on the website, homebasepodcast.com. I have a super easy tutorial of a cute kids play mat that you can make with a crib bumper. So it's something you can do with your bumper. You don't have to use it in your crib, and you have an awesome play mat for your kids to play on and lay on, do tummy time, whatever. So go check that out. All right, baby calendar. All right, so baby book, you know, you've heard this. You need a baby book so you can log their first steps, their first teeth, their first smile, all their first foods when they were born, blah, blah, blah. If that seems daunting to you, get a baby calendar. You can find them lots of different places. You can just Google baby calendar if you want to find a super cutesy one. Ours is Garfield because I love Garfield. But it's awesome. Basically, it's a 12-month calendar, and you start the month your baby is born, so it can start whenever you want. There aren't set, like, months and days on your calendar. You fill it in as you go, and it comes with stickers and stuff, questions for you to answer on each page or each month of the calendar. Ours has, like, a spot for you to put a picture of them for that month, so take your monthly picture, and it has a spot for you to fill in their weights and measurements and all that, and some fun questions like as you get closer to 6 months, and there's like, what do I like to eat and stuff like that. But there's stickers that come with it that kind of just really tell you which things you need to write down. So there's like a first wave sticker, a first step sticker, and stuff like that. So it really kind of prompts you of what you need to write down. It's super easy. You can hang it up on their wall, and then you can give it to them later when they have kids, and they'll go, aww, and it's super cute. So baby calendar, we actually do both because I'm crazy and I love mementos. So we have a baby calendar and a baby book because the baby book is a little bit more in depth than the baby calendar. But I think the baby calendar is super cool because it's more of like you can see the timeline, whereas the baby book is just a bunch of list of dates, you know. So highly recommend the baby calendar. All right, thermometer, another thing I meant to talk about when we talked about the little hygiene kits you can get. So like I said, most of these hygiene kits come with a little thermometer in there. Your hospital's probably going to give you a thermometer too. So basically, yeah, you'll have a thermometer. There's a ton of different thermometers on the market now. There's the little generic one that you can stick underneath their arm, or you can take their temperature rectally. I think we're getting kind of away from that. I don't think even, like, most hospitals now are just taking it under their arm. I know my son's temperature was taken under his arm the whole time we were there. So I've never taken his temperature rectally. I ain't doing that. You all do what you want, but I ain't doing that. But so there are those thermometers for under their arms, or you can use them rectally. There's pacifier thermometers. We have one of those. It's actually kind of cool. It's a pacifier that takes their temperature. You can find it at different stores. It's kind of cool. There's the temporal thermometer where you put it in the center of their forehead and you pull it to the side over towards their temple, and it scans their forehead and tells you their temperature. Those are really accurate as well. We got a temporal one, and I tested it in the pacifier and the one under his arm, and they all read the same, so I think they're all pretty on target. Don't quote me on that. Most doctors, I don't think, are quite on board with the whole pacifier thermometer thing. I think that's still kind of new, so they might look at you kind of crazy if you have one of those. And then there's the super expensive but super cool thermometer that you just point at them and it reads their temperature. I'm not sure how accurate those are, but they are kind of cool. So I do recommend the temporal thermometer. They're easy to use. For the most part, I've used it a couple times when he's sleeping and it hasn't woke him up. And they're fairly accurate. I think doing the whole under the arm thing is so hard because you have to get it under their arm just right, and you have to pin their arm down so that you get that heat. Like, I just think it's difficult to do personally. So I like the temporal one because it's really quick and fast. It just is fast as pulling it across their forehead. That's how quickly it reads it. So that's my opinion, and I think you can get one of those for like $25, so it's a little pricier, but it's not as much as the one that you point and scan. Those are like $60 to $100, so not as much of a commitment. All right, along with the whole kind of hygiene thing, Q-tips. They make baby Q-tips. They're really fat and poofy, so you can't stick them really far down and damage their eardrum. People, you need to clean your kids' ears. I cannot tell you, I'm like a super, dirty ears just gross me out, but I can't tell you how many people I've seen their kids, and it's like they don't even think to clean their ears. Your baby has earwax from the moment they're born. You need to clean their ears. That's how ear infections happen. The earwax gets built up, liquid gets stuck in there, and they get an ear infection, okay? Clean your kids' ears out. Get some of those Q-tips. It's super easy. We do it after every single bath. I just hold my son up in front of the mirror, and he's so distracted looking at himself in the mirror, I just quickly clean his ear super fast, and it's over. It's not a big deal at all. So, people, clean your ears. Okay, moving on. We're getting to the end of this list. I'm trying to get us there so that we're done. A belly binder. If you have probably seen so many different infomercials and stuff. There's all sorts of celebrities that swear by this brand of belly binder. It's going to pull your muscles back together, and you're not going to have to do any exercising. And after you have your baby, your belly's going to be flatter than it was before you were pregnant. I don't know how much of that is honestly true. However, a belly binder is a great thing because the muscles in your stomach, there's two main ones right in the middle, and they run up and down, and they kind of are on each side of your belly button. Before you're pregnant, they should be, if you're physically fit, they should be next to each other, and they should have some little tendons that hold them together. Okay. When you get pregnant, your belly, as it goes out, those muscles expand and a gap happens between those muscles. Okay. And after you have your baby, you need to kind of either do some kind of exercise to pull those muscles back together, or you need to exercise. I'm not saying don't exercise, and I'm not saying this instead of exercising, but a great thing to kind of help with that, because we all know when you have a baby, it's kind of, you can't exercise for the first few weeks, and it's hard to find the time. You can get these binders, which basically there are some that are like a corset, but there's some that are a little bit more forgiving. They don't have the stiff sides. They're a really, really tightly woven mesh. and you just wear them, and it helps pull everything together so that those muscles can re-adhere together, okay? So that's why a lot of mamas end up with the mommy pooch, because they don't fix their muscles, and your muscles stay pulled apart, and you have this pooch. So there you go. I gave you all just an anatomy lesson. If you don't believe me, go online. There's tons of research. I promise. I've done the research, guys. Don't question it. Just take it and run. I'm saving you time. So belly binder. You can go buy some. Sure, you can do that. Or you can ask your doctor when you're at the hospital. Talk to them ahead of time. So talk to your OBGYN when you get into your third trimester. Just tell them. Say, I really want a belly binder. And you might need to bring a picture or, you know, describe it to them. I think they may call it like an abdominal binder or something. So you could call it that instead of belly. Just say, I want an abdominal binder. And they have medical grade ones that they will give you at the hospital. But your doctor needs to know about it ahead of time, because they do have to write a prescription for it. So just kind of remind them as you're getting close to your due date. Say, I want that. And if your doctor isn't the one that delivers you, but they come and maybe visit you the next day or something, just remind them before you leave the hospital that you want that, and they should hook you up with one, and there you go. It may be added to your bill, but I promise it'll be worth it, because it'll be a nice one, and then at least you're billed for it, you can pay it off, or maybe your insurance will cover it, you know, who knows. But so you can do that. Ask your doctor for one, and they are really great. I got one from my doctor. I also had bought one too, and I tried to wear it as soon as I went home, because that's kind of the best thing to do, is to just wear it right away and get used to it. And I felt like it was uncomfortable. I've gotten back into wearing them now, so I don't think it's too late to wear one. I think you can always kind of get into it. Maybe you've already had your kids and you're listening to this. I don't think it's ever too late to start wearing one. It is ideal that you just start right away. But I do have to say, there was a part of me, like, I wore my belly band a lot right after I had my son, because for like 9 months you wear these belly bands and things to help give your belly support, and you have this person that's in there and everything's really tight, and then afterwards you're like, everything just feels so saggy and loose, and so it's kind of nice to have something kind of holding things together. So I really think if you can get past the first few days of uncomfortableness, I think it is really great. Some people sleep in theirs. Like, they just wear them the whole time, and those are the people that have really amazing results. So there you go. All right, moving on. Nursing cover. I know you may be one of those people, you're like, I'm breastfeeding and I don't care. I have no qualms about breastfeeding in public. That is super awesome. You go. You're still going to want a nursing cover. Everybody should get one. And there's actually a super, super simple DIY I did on the DIY episode. A super easy way to make your own nursing cover. And it's actually also an infinity scarf. So we're coming up on winter, ladies. And they're really awesome. So go listen to that episode and learn how to make your own nursing cover. Save yourself a lot of money. And it'll be super cute. And you can wear it all the time and nobody will know. All right, baby carrier. Baby carriers are awesome. You're going to want one, absolutely. Even if you don't want to do like the Moby or you don't want to wrap them, doing any kind of carrier is just nice because you're hands-free, or, you know, maybe you have multiple kids and one in the stroller and one on you. It's just easier. We hike a lot, so we use ours for hiking, and my husband actually wears it more than I do now. I wore him a lot when he was really little, because we would go on walks every single day this summer, and I would just strap him on, because my theory was if I was going to go walk and try to exercise, I was going to strap him on because he was like extra weight, you know, like burn extra calories. So I carried him for a really long time, and it really did help my workout. So I like the baby carriers. I think everybody should have one. Just even if you don't think you're going to use it, then get a cheap one and or find one from a consignment shop as just a fallback, because you never know. We keep ours in our car and we use it all the time. You can do tons of research and you can find different ones. I think the best thing to do is to go to a store. Like, I know Bye Bye Baby and Babies R Us have sections in the store where they have ones out that you can try on and see how they feel. I highly recommend doing that, because not everyone is built the same. Where something hits you might hit someone else some way, you know. And so go try them on and figure out what you like, okay? Do what you think is best. Clothes. I'm not going to talk too much about clothes, because I think clothes are kind of a mom's preference. Some moms might put their kids in pajamas all the time. I do. Some moms might really want to do the whole cute outfits, you know, pants and shirts. And if you have a girl, then you have tons of cute things like dresses and blah, blah, blah. So I'm not going to get too much into clothes. But I think I really loved the gowns when my son was first born. The gowns are awesome. They're a little hard to find. Like, a lot of places don't make the gowns a lot, so you have to, like, really search for them. I know Babies R Us has some. I know Target has some occasionally, so you have to just kind of keep your eye out for them. But the gowns are great because they're long sleeve, and they normally have those little sleeves that kind of cup over their hands so you don't have to wear mittens. And they're long gowns and they stretch all down their legs, and they're stretchy at the bottom so it keeps their little feet in so they don't have to worry about socks. And that's what my son wore, like, all the time. When we first brought him home, like, the first month, that's, like, what he wore was gowns. And I didn't put anything on under the gowns, his diaper. It's super easy to change his diaper, and it's like he's wearing a little blanket, so when you hand him to people, you just know he's going to stay warm. And I don't know, we love the gowns. They were great. I was so sad when he grew out of them, because there's just something so sweet and babyish about a gown, and then when they start wearing, like, clothes and little outfits, it's just, oh, it broke my heart. So I recommend finding some gowns. They're great. Bibs, as far as bibs are concerned, you're not going to need bibs until they start eating pureed food, which is between 4 and 6 months. But some moms like to just have a bib on their child all the time in case they drool a lot or maybe they spit up a lot. I personally hate that. I hate it when babies just have bibs on them 24/7, but that's just me. I would much rather just change their shirt if I had to, instead of changing a bib. But that's your preference. You know, I said clothes is kind of more of a mom's preference thing. Some moms like having the bibs on there because it helps keep their clothes clean. To me, I feel like you're just going to end up looking at the bib, so what's it matter if their clothes are clean, you know? But that's up to you. Tylenol. You cannot give babies Tylenol until they're 2 months, which is when they get their first round of vaccines. So don't worry about having any Tylenol in your cupboard when you bring them home. It is a nice thing to have on hand after they get those first vaccines, though, because most babies, they get a little bit of a fever after those first vaccines, and it's nice to just kind of help them out with that. Diapers. I really recommend for diapers that you tell people when you register that you just want small packages, okay? So, and not because your babies are going to grow out of them fast. I say get small packages of tons of different brands. That way you can try them all. Because let me tell you, you're going to find a brand that you love when they're teeny tiny. And then when they get bigger and start moving, you're going to have to redo and find a new brand that you like, because baby diapers and, like, crawler diapers and walker diapers, they're all different, and it's just trial and error of what you like. So I just recommend small packages. Don't start buying in bulk until you know what you like and you know your baby's going to be in it for a while. All right. Bowls and things like that, utensils, stuff for eating. Like I said, you're not going to need those things until they're 4 to 6 months old. So I really recommend just don't even worry about registering for that stuff. You're so overwhelmed when you're pregnant. Just just, I would just not worry about it and just make a mental note when you get some gift cards, set a couple of your gift cards aside and, you know, put them away somewhere. And then when you get into that stage and you have to buy snack containers and sippy cups and bowls and utensils, then you can just go grab those gift cards and take care of it then. But I really wouldn't worry about trying to register for that now. All right, guys, that's it. That's all I've got for you. A lot of the other things, big things that maybe I didn't mention, like swings and stuff, that's really just your opinion. Trial and error. Different kids are going to want different things, so I can't speak as definitively on those things. And if there is something that you feel like I left out and you have a question, please do not hesitate to email me, homebasepodcast@gmail.com. Reach out to me on Twitter. We're also on Instagram at homebasepodcast. I'm on Periscope occasionally. I haven't been on in a few weeks. I'm sorry, guys. I know I'm slacking on the Periscope. Or you can just go straight to the website, homebasepodcast.com. Reach out to me on there, and you can find a way to reach out to me one way or another, but please don't hesitate to ask questions. Please, please, please. And if you guys love this episode, be sure to go over to iTunes. Leave me some feedback. Leave me some lovin'. We need some lovin' so we can get this podcast out to more people. All right, so we're going to take another break, and I'm going to come back with our parenting hack of the week and our mommy mantra, so stay tuned. Alright, so our parenting hack this week is super simple, but I think it's easily overlooked in your child's bedroom or nursery, whatever you want to call it. It is the nightlight. I think nightlights are super awesome. You can get all sorts of super cute ones, and they're really, really handy because you're going to be going in and checking on your kids over and over and over, and it really helps if you can see. And I mean, some of these nightlights, I know they say to keep the room dark so they sleep. They're not that bright. But here's one that we absolutely love, and I highly recommend it. It is a little nightlight. It's by Munchkin is the brand, and it is a little owl. I've seen it at Target. I've seen it at Walmart, Babies R Us. You can basically find this little guy anywhere. But it's a little owl. I think he was only $10 or $15, somewhere in there. He's super cute though. He's shaped kind of like a little lantern. He's got a little orange handle, and he's got a button on the bottom that lights him up, and it's time for 20 minutes, so it turns off after 20 minutes. So it's kind of cool. Like when my son was really little and we would put him to bed, we would kind of turn it on and he could watch it, and when it turned off, he normally was asleep by then. You could use it for your older kids. You could turn it on and say when the owl turns out, you need to be asleep. We like it, though, because we leave it right on his changing table. So if we have to go in the middle of the night, we know exactly where it is. We can just reach in there, grab it, turn it on, walk over to his crib and see him. And it's so cute because since it's an owl, his face is like his eyes and everything are kind of big. And so my son loves this guy. It's been like his buddy since he was little. Because babies recognize faces pretty early on. And so I think he understands that it's a face, because every time he looks at it, he just smiles really big. It's so precious. And now that he's older, like, he carries it around by the handle, and it looks like he's carrying a little lantern. It's adorable. So, and I will put a picture up on Twitter, and I will put a link to one in the show notes so you guys can go check it out. But it is Munchkin is the brand, and it's a little nightlight owl, and he's super cute. All right, our mommy mantra this week goes out to all you pregnant mamas out there, or even for all of you that are thinking you're going to have another baby, or for those of you parents that you already got kids. I think everybody can kind of relate to this. This is from Irma Bombeck. Instead of wishing away 9 months of pregnancy, I'd have cherished every moment and realized that the wonderment growing inside me was the only chance in life to assist God in a miracle. I think that's so sweet. And I think it's so true. And I just want to say, for all you first-time mommies out there that are listening, don't wish away your pregnancy, even if it's like the worst pregnancy ever and you're miserable. It is just this wonderful, special time. And when it's over, it's over. I'm getting emotional here, guys. It's just a really great time, and it's so special, and you're going to remember it forever, and so just don't wish it away, and just really embrace it, and take those times in your day to just sit down and connect with your baby, feel your belly, sing them a song, read them a story, just cherish it, because it really is a miracle, and you're a part of it, and that's just kind of amazing. And for those parents out there who aren't pregnant, those little miracles are right in front of you now. And so don't miss out on them. Make sure you're taking that time to really be mindful and be present. All right, guys, I love you all. I know this has been a whirlwind of an episode, and it's been lengthy and long, and I appreciate you guys hanging in there. But there's so much good information here, so make sure you save it, because you're going to need to revisit it or listen to it again, because I'm sure you didn't pick up on everything. I'm sure I probably didn't even list anything or even pick up on half of it myself. So make sure you save it, share it with people, and yeah, it's awesome. You're all awesome, and we'll see you next week for another episode of Home Base Podcast. Love you guys.